The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
Hello, it's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zaidman, joined by 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller will join us in a few moments. But Tom, we'll start with you because since we last spoke, man, some major changes in regards to the Bears organization. That's because Adam Gase leaves the Bears, takes over as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and the Bears waste no time promoting their quarterbacks coach, Dowell Loggins, to the position of offensive coordinator. So what does this mean for Jay Cutler and company heading into the offseason and into next season when it comes to what they were able to do offensively last year? What carries over with Dowell Loggins taking over as the OC?
The first thing is, Zach, is nothing hit the Bears unexpectedly. You kind of knew since the beginning of the season, if Adam Gase and the Chicago Bears offense had a good showing this season, and especially Jay Cutler, then Adam Gase was going to continuously get the head coaching opportunities. And so with that being said, I don't think that the Bears ever went into this naively thinking they wouldn't have to make a change at the end of the season. So I think it's really good that Dowell is getting his opportunity. He knows the offense. He knows the quarterback room. He knows the entire coaching staff. He knows the tempo, what's expected out of practice every day. So all these things that he didn't have to learn, he just had to be a part of since they hired the new staff at the beginning of the season. And I think the Bears will benefit from the fact that Dowell will be able to take over and continue the same terminology, continue the same goals of the offense, understanding that offense runs through Jay Cutler, through the running game, through the offensive line, that it's not all about the quarterback. So I'm excited to see the growth of this offense going into year two of the John Fox regime, because I think when you have other guys like Mike Groh and like Coach Dave Magazoo and all the other coaches that are on the offensive staff, I think they're going to be very beneficial in their experience they have with the Bears. But I don't think I don't think you're going to hit a speed bump with the quarterback position. I think this is going to give Jay Cutler a great opportunity into year two of this system to grow and benefit from, you know, the continuous process of what John Fox has always wanted to have in place.
It's interesting to hear you say that, Tom, because anyone who's watched the Bears throughout the Jay Cutler era, it's no secret that he's had issues and the coordinators have had issues with him in terms of building the kind of trust that you need long term for success. Yet, for some reason, Adam Gase was able to immediately establish that. And remember, we talked with Adam Gase during the pregame show before the Bears regular season finale, and Gase talked about how it didn't hurt to have the equity that he had built up working with Peyton Manning in Denver. It didn't hurt that he gave Jay Cutler ownership of the offense by a lot more no huddle, meaning the quarterback had to know everything, even more so than everyone else in regards to this offense, and it gave him a little bit more freedom. But the reality is that you are making a change, and Adam Gase did a lot right. Why are we supposed to believe that all of a sudden Dowell Loggins comes in and it's going to be a seamless transition?
Because this isn't about the Adam Gase offense. This is about the John Fox coached football team. And since the end of this regular season, John Fox always said, whomever is going to come in here and be the next offensive coordinator is going to fit into our system. He's not going to bring in new terminology, a new philosophy, a new thought process. This is about making sure that the running back position gets better, that Kevin White, the receiver position, and whatever happens to Alshon Jeffrey becomes better, the tight end position. That's what this is about. This is about the system they have in place. And I was really encouraged at the end of the year when I heard Coach Fox talk about the new offensive coordinator, how he was going to have to fit the Bears system, that he wasn't going to bring in a new system, new terminology. And so that's where I believe that Jay can pick up right where he left off this year. And he is familiar with Coach Loggins and how he carries himself and what he, how he conducts a meeting and what he thinks about the opponents and how he prepares himself for a game week in and week out. There may be some differences in the way the philosophical thinking of Dahl to Adam Gase, but I still think it's going to be about the process of Chicago Bear football that we got to learn this year and how it carries over week in and week out. But again, how the system fits against your next opponent.
That's the thought of Tom Thayer, the 85 Bear and Bears radio analyst, in regards to the changes that have occurred at Hallis Hall. Adam Gase leaving as offensive coordinator to take over the head coaching duties of the Miami Dolphins, and Dowell Loggins promoted from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator. Pleased to have Jim Miller with us, the former Bears quarterback. And from a quarterback's perspective, Jim, you study the league, obviously, working on satellite radio and working with the Bears. You understand the dynamic that was in place at Hallis Hall this past season, but you also have an understanding of what Dowell Loggins is all about and his history. Can you kind of give us a brief snapshot image of who Dowell Loggins is and what he brings now as offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears?
Well, he played the position of quarterback growing up, and he's been an up-and-comer for a long time. Bears have interviewed him before. You know, he potentially could have been hired on the previous staff of the Chicago Bears because Jay Cutler was intrigued by him. He's called plays in the NFL before for the Tennessee Titans when they relieved Chris Palmer of duties under Mike Munchak, who's the head coach. And I just think, you know, for him, he's a guy who can relate to players. He's got tremendous communication skills. That's what I think John Fox tried to get across today. And he's got a great offensive mind. And so, and it's not just the quarterback position. He's coached other positions as well. But, you know, Tom was talking about the continuity in the building. Jay Cutler already comes with an expectation of what Dowell Loggins expects from the position of quarterback. You know, there's a mission statement always laid out by the offensive coordinator and by the quarterback coach individually. You know, and I think for, you know, not turning over the football and those type of things that were really, you know, exemplified this year by the Chicago Bears, Jay Cutler knows all those things are going to stay in place. I think what's interesting from Dowell Loggins' perspective and what Bears fans want to know is how is he going to utilize the talent that is infused on offense, much like how it was done last year, whether it's Jeremy Langford. You know, say, I'll give you the example, say Kevin White. How is Dowell Loggins going to dial up plays to get players that should be big-time players and productive players in the Bears' offense? How is he going to get them involved in the offense? So I always go back to this. You know, John Fox has a big Rolodex, and he's watched and evaluated that relationship with Dowell Loggins over the past year. It's no different than, say, the upcoming Senior Bowl. Everything is evaluated at the quarterback position, how they react, how they call plays, how they interact with their teammates. And John Fox has been watching that relationship, you know, blossom over the past year. And it's been a good working relationship between Dowell Loggins and Jay Cutler. So I expect it to continue. As Tom said, it's the Bears' offense. It's not just one certain scheme, but it's the expectation of what is commanded from the quarterback position. And I think that will continue with Dowell Loggins as the OC.
And remember, John Fox is not a guy who just concentrates on the defensive side of the ball. He
right.
also is very much a guy who has his fingerprints on what the Bears do offensively.
He knows how important that room is. That room is important in every team in the National Football League. It's amazing what that position is capable of and how much it can define wins or losses in the National Football League. John Fox is no stranger to that position.
Okay, we know what's going to stay the same in regards to the switch. Dowell Loggins taking over for Adam Gase, who leaves for Miami to take over their head coaching job with the Dolphins. What changes with Dowell Loggins as offensive coordinator? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. We've been talking about the big change at Hallis Hall this week. Adam Gase takes over as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. So Dowell Loggins promoted from Bears quarterbacks coach to Bears offensive coordinator. And in our last segment, both Tom and Jim talked about how there's a lot of continuity. That's the reason the move was made. There's a working relationship that was successful last year between Loggins and quarterback Jay Cutler. He understands the way the offense needs to work because he worked under Adam Gase and understands the way John Fox likes to operate. But the reality is, and Jim, I'll start with you, the reality is you're dealing with a different human being than Adam Gase, who was a successful play caller on game day. And these are the things that we don't pay a lot of attention to, but I think are big factors. The natural feel that a play caller has on game day. What do we know about Dowell Loggins and what he likes to do in those situations?
Yeah, well, I think some will carry over from last year in the philosophy of how the offense was run. You know, twice they faced the Lions. You know, Dowell Loggins was written getting a good knowledge of the NFC North. You know, what Green Bay does, and Dom Capers, say a defensive coordinator like that, or Mike Zimmer, what he has done up there for the Minnesota Vikings and things that are effective against the type of fronts and blitzes that they're going to see. But I also think what's important, what we don't know, is the continued development of young players, i.e. whether it's Kadeem Carey or Jeremy Langford, say Zach Miller, who had an impact for the Chicago Bears. Is that development going to continue to grow? And how those players grew as young players this year for the Bears. And again, I go back to how you're going to implement new weapons, whether it's Kevin White, whether it's free agents they bring in, or say the young draft picks. Because I do think the Bears were very effective, both offensively and defensively, in the productivity of young players. You know, granted, they're not stars yet, but there are some young players that did some good things for the Chicago Bears. So I do think those are unknowns that will be known, but certainly John Fox feels comfortable with what he's evaluated about Dowell Loggins moving forward. Again, I think you gotta respect the head coach and his past history and what he's gone through in the NFL, because he knows a lot of coaches, plenty of coaches that he could turn to, but he has the confidence in a young Dowell Loggins that he can get it done because of his communication skills and Dowell Loggins' ability to challenge players to get better, because that's what it's about. Every player wants to be coached, and they want to get better. And that's the word on the street that I hear about Dowell Loggins. He has the ability to do that.
You know, Jim and Zach, one of the things about this year that I think every offensive coach will benefit with the Bears is they never had consistency in the lineup. So every week when they were sitting in those meetings devising a game plan for their defensive opponent, they never knew exactly what the lineup was going to be. So they had to make sure they had every player ready, from Mark Mariani to Eddie Royal to Zach Miller, you know, whomever showed up that week, as they had so many changes. And I think that offensive coaches can benefit from that. Because it's not about getting the same lineup ready for the same game plan and making sure that you highlight your same strengths week in and week out. You have to develop new strengths. You have to develop a new strategy, how you're going to work in the talent. And then when you have the change of the running back position from Matt Forte exclusively to the Matt Forte, Jeremy Langford, Kadeem Carey backfield, and how they all fit in the different types of backfield organizations that you could have, I think all those types of things will benefit Coach Loggins here in the future because of those inconsistencies. And then when you talked about Kevin White getting involved, and hopefully Eddie Royal being healthy, and then, you know, the continuous development of a weapon like Zach Miller in the tight end position, all those uncertainties from this year, I think, will benefit him going into this upcoming season because of all the changes you had to make week in and week out, and all the details that you had to pay attention to in those meetings that they have behind closed doors.
How does it change that this coaching staff now has had an opportunity to find out every strength, every weakness of every player on the roster, and all the behind-the-scenes stuff that you can only learn when you're around guys every single day during a football season? Jim?
No, I think it's huge. It's a constant evaluation process for these coaches. Again, how players react. you know, on good plays or bad plays. You know, it's something as simple as a play call. How do they lead? You know, that's why I bring up the Senior Bowl and why all the coaches and general managers go down there. That Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, it used to be that all those coaches were allowed on the field. They could actually hear a quarterback in the huddle calling a play. And let's say a guy threw a pick. Well, they're looking right at the quarterback. How does he react to that? They're getting to know these players both on a personal level, professional level, and a football level, how good of a football player they are and how important football is to them. It's that up close and personal for these coaches. It's one thing to have a scouting report listen to you. Oh, here's his strengths. Here's his weaknesses. But actually to physically go on a field for God knows how many practices the Bears had last year, but every day, whether it's Ryan Pace or that coaching staff, they can go in and truly evaluate every single player on an up-close and personal basis. So they know firsthand all the strengths, weaknesses, the personal aspects of a player, how important football is to them, the quality of character of the individual. So that's something you can't get just from the file that's printed up on a personal player. All these coaches have their own files now and their Rolodex that they can go through and see where they need to upgrade certain parts of this roster.
You know, Jim, I and Zach, I think one of the best things that is coming into the season is comparison to last season is more of the certainty about Jay Cutler and the quarterback position. They know a lot about him. They know his intelligence. They know that how he can understand and he can commit to learning a new system. He's done it so many different times in his career. But because of what the carryover of Coach Loggins, they're going to be able to already have a system instilled terminology-wise into the head of Jay Cutler. So it's just going to they're just have to reintroduce him when all the meetings and the OTAs and everything start. So I think it's a great opportunity this year for the Bears to know they can build on the quarterback position. Last year there was so much uncertainty right about the quarterback position, you didn't know what to think. But you think of the benefits of being able to build on that position, I think it's going to benefit everybody who touches the football on offense.
Yeah, you know, a year ago at this time, you didn't even know if Jay Cutler would be the starting quarterback of the Bears or even if he'd be a part of the organization.
No, you're right. I think they put a ton of pressure on him. And I think it was the right approach. And Jay Cutler responded. He responded. You know, whatever buttons had to be pushed. You know, think about even Dow Logans right now, because he's been in numerous meetings with Jay Cutler. He knows how he absorbs information the best. You know, is it watching the projector and watching the tapes of your upcoming opponent? Is it laying it out with a playbook in front of him where Jay can flip through the pages and see it? Maybe it's getting up on a board. And Dow Logans, hey, Jay, this is what we want to do against this certain look in this front. You know, I personally don't know the best way Jay Cutler learns, but whatever buttons or whatever evaluation process that Dow Logans and Adam Gase devised for Jay Cutler, they found out the best way to tap into it. And that approach will be built upon, as what Tom said, moving forward. It's most efficient year Jay Cutler had in the National Football League at the quarterback position. It can only get better, from my opinion, not worse.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, there's a lot happening around the National Football League that could potentially impact the Bears. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Plus, we'll be taking your phone calls at 312-644-6767. Let's take a break. We'll come back more with 85 Bear Tom Thayer, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is with me. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you aboard. Before we get to your phone calls, and once again this year, we're going to be giving away a gift certificate to Sports Authority to the best caller during our call-in segment in just a few minutes here. But we're going to have a switch because I felt bad that it was Ask Tom last year and only Tom got to answer the questions and Jim Miller was kind of on the sidelines judging. So what we did this year is we decided let's get the two brains together and double the power. which should make for an exciting segment with your phone calls and these experts answering any questions that you may have about the Bears or the world of football. And speaking of the world of football, guys, what did we learn from this postseason so far? You got the heartbreaking loss for the Minnesota Vikings. You've got Green Bay looking like Green Bay again. Kansas City cruises to victory over Houston. And I guess we should start, Tom, with the Cincinnati implosion. It's one thing to have self-inflicted mistakes during a game. We've seen that often during the NFL. But to have the mental implosion that occurred with the Bengals, have you ever seen anything like this during your time covering the National Football League?
You know, you've seen things like this happen during the regular season where you didn't have things on the line like you do in the playoff scenario. To see these guys do it during the playoffs when that's what you base your whole season on, that's what you work from OTAs, that's the way you do, why you do extra work, why you spend extra time in meetings, why you have the excitement of walking out into the practice field during the playoffs when everybody else is going home or watching you on TV. I felt very frustrated for all the other players on Cincinnati and the coaching staff when you have just a couple guys lose their cool at the end of the game, where you could go from being one of the biggest heroes in Cincinnati to the GOAT of the game in the terms of perfect and the way he made the interception and then had the late hit. So it's really frustrating to see sometimes the selfishness of players at the end where they go out and they create this occurrence where it ends up losing the game. It helps them lose the game.
Yeah, it's interesting from my stand because, you know, to me it was this all-around embarrassing, you know, because you had three other ball games that were professional throughout. You know, to me that Seattle-Minnesota game, that was an awesome football game. Look how each team conducted themselves. So I don't give anybody a pass. I don't think the Steelers conducted themselves accordingly, and I know the Rooney family will address it. I think Cincinnati, they're embarrassed about their behavior. Even the fans. The fans didn't conduct themselves accordingly. Throwing stuff at Ben Roethlisberger, that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable in every way, shape, or form. That's not what professional football represents.
Jim, if you played on the Bengals, say you were the starting quarterback of the Bengals, your team loses that game in large part because of the extracurricular activity of a couple of players. What's it like in that locker room? What's it like during the offseason? And can Burfict come back in there and continue to play for that team after what he did?
See, I'll say this. Well, you know, Adam Jones is a free agent. I don't think he'll be back anyways. And, you know, it's not a reflection of leaders on that football team. Andy Dalton's a leader. Andrew Whitworth is a great guy. Jeremy Hill, did you hear Jeremy Hill in his post-game press conference? He conducted himself and showed character. I got to hold on to that football that started that snowball effect. It was part of it, you know, the turnover rate there. But he handled himself with class and character. So to me, those two guys are not a reflection of the Cincinnati Bengals. And Marvin Lewis already said that he would address it. He said he needs to be more aware of the pulse of his football team on social media that we know has exploded and is a big part of players, you know, sniping back and forth. Because it is. It's a rivalry game. But at the end of the day, players lost their composure. And that's out of selfishness, and you're not thinking of the football team at that point. That has to be addressed by Marvin Lewis. And last but not least, in terms of, you know, just everything that went on in that game and two players that lost their control, there are other players that have already come out, like Carlos Dunlop, and said the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Cincinnati Bengals today. He was basically pointing the finger at his teammates, saying, you need to control yourself. And so, you know, so don't let two guys, like I said, there are three other games that had great professionalism, the spirit of competition, they conducted it with great sportsmanship and respect of their opponent and respect of the game, but yet everybody, here we talk about the one bad apple. That's what's unfortunate about it as well. Hopefully it never happens again.
Jim, it was 30 years ago this week, Tom remembers it well, when the Bears beat a team from Los Angeles and advanced to the first Super Bowl in Bears history. They shut out the Rams. And it's funny, 30 years pass, and all of a sudden, bam, the Rams are going back to L.A. How is this going to affect the National Football League?
I mean, to me, it's frustrating. I feel frustrated. I feel bad for the St. Louis people, because when you talk about the impact in the economy in St. Louis because of the Rams, they have so many benefits from it. Where, you know, from, you know, the trickle down effect from the players and the coaches all the way down to the guys that have the young men and the young ladies that have the jobs on game day in training camp and everything leading up to it. You know, I've been a part, you know, Zach and Jim, I've been there for the LA Express, for the Oakland Invaders, from the LA Raiders to the LA Rams. And I saw a lack of support out there for every one of those football teams in a major way, and that's why they ended up leaving that area. I feel bad just for the folks in St. Louis, because I think there was a sincere appreciation for having an NFL football team there, and they wanted to support it. They just wanted to feel the same faith and support from the owner that allowed the general public to get on board and support their organization. So for me, it left a bitter taste in my mouth that the St. Louis Rams are leaving back to L.A., because I've seen L.A. go unsupportive so many different times in the NFL. And then to remove it out of an area where they really need the economic impact of the NFL that felt that it's not there anymore. So I'm one in disagreement with the move.
Well, I'm with you there, because, you know, one minute you have an NFL sports franchise and overnight it's gone, you know, and here at St. Louis did. They opened up their arms to welcome back the L.A. Rams to the St. Louis market and, you know, did a lot of things, from building the new stadium and all the things that are involved. But the one area where they didn't protect themselves is having an out clause if a new owner, or I should say, walling off that out clause in the contract of the St. Louis Rams, so that they would not move if a new owner took ownership of the St. Louis Rams. And that's what Stan Kroenke, you know, really, you know, he exploited. And he you know, it's hard to fault him. He could potentially triple, you know, his franchise in terms of financial and, you know, what it could be a windfall for that football team. But, Tom, as you mentioned, he has put a lot of pressure on that organization. There will probably be a lot of people that will not be moving out to that L.A. market with the St. Louis Rams. It's unfortunate from that standpoint. People that have been a part of that organization for many years and invested a lot of time in that organization, and they will move on. But now it's going to be imperative for Stan Kroenke to win, because you bring football to a new place. At least when the St. Louis Rams arrived in St. Louis, it was the greatest show on turf, and they accomplished a lot of things. Now that pressure is on Stan Kroenke. He needs to go out that market and win, or it'll be an empty hole in the ground, just like what Tom said, if you got a loser trying to bust into a new market.
And it looks like the Chargers will eventually end up joining them in that new stadium in Los Angeles, which is really going to be an NFL complex. They might move their network there, and they could hold Super Bowls there, and potentially the NFL draft, which would affect Chicago in the future. So there's a lot at stake with this new deal where the Rams are moving to Los Angeles. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's your opportunity to talk to Tom and Jim. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We take your phone calls rapid-fire fashion. Anything in regards to the Bears or the world of football is fair game. The best caller of the segment receives a gift certificate to Sports Authority. That's next on Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Give your biggest Little Bears fan exclusive access when they become a Chicago Bears Kids Club MVP. Brought to you by Papa John's. New kits are available now at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Hi, everyone. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer's along, so's former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman, and it is time to award a gift certificate to Sports Authority to the best caller of the segment. We're going to go rapid fire with your phone calls at 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can ask a question in regards to the Bears or the NFL to either Tom or Jim. Just make sure to address the person that you want to ask the question to, or else it could be a very interesting segment. But we'll begin the festivities. We'll start with James in Elgin. James, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys. My question is for Jim Miller and Tom. With $60 million under the cap that the Bears should have going into this season, what would you see as a blueprint for free agency leading into the draft?
Well, I definitely think, you know, if you can get a quality slot receiver, and I brought up that there's some really good linebackers out there that are going to be potential free agents that John Fox knows very well. You look at Brandon Marshall out there for the Denver Broncos. Trevathan, I believe, is going to be a free agent as well. Even Will Hoyt, who played for Vic Fangio out there for the San Francisco 49ers. They have the ability to bring in some free agents defensively that could really increase the production. And really, areas of weakness could become strengths very quickly. I think they're going to use all platforms, both the draft and free agency, in order to go after that, to fulfill the roles that they need. I've been screaming for years, the Bears need a slot receiver as well. Three wides is the most dominant personnel grouping in the National Football League, and that spot, you know, and it's not the players' fault. They've been hurt. You know, Eddie Royal was hurt all year, but that position, in my opinion, has to be addressed because Marquise Wilson in 2 years in a row, now Eddie Royal, have been hurt for most of the seasons.
You know, just to amplify on that, I'd like to see a good, strong interior linebacker that can call all the signals for defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and run that system fast and correctly. And I like what I've seen out of John Timu at the end of the year. And then I would also like to see the tight end position upgraded in terms of a solid, big, strong blocker. You see the athleticism and the ability to run away from defensive backs with Zach Miller. But if you really want that sixth lineman effect, it's got to be a tight end that has size and point of attack blocking ability.
You know, I go back to what Tom was saying about the inside backers. Man, the Bears had four different guys forced to call plays because of either injuries or a lack of trust from the coaching staff, whether it was Shea McClellan, Christian Jones, Jonathan Anderson, and John Timu, who finished out the season with that little green sticker on the back of the helmet, meaning he had the audio communication from the sideline. Back out to the phones we go. 312-644-6767 at stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We say hi to Paul on the southwest side. Paul, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? This is for Jim. I'm trying to figure out the dynamics of a quarterback coach. I'm visualizing maybe the head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach start out with a meeting, say this is what we want done, and then the quarterback coach is hands-on, and then maybe report back to each of them at the end of the day. Is that kind of how it works or no?
Yeah, basically, normally on every Wednesday, you're going to introduce the game plan to the offense. And it's primarily the offensive coordinator that is going to deliver that mission statement. It's in front of everybody. As Tom will say, there's the offensive linemen there, the wide receivers, the tight ends, the quarterbacks. All the whole offensive group is there. And this is what the offensive coordinator says. All right, gentlemen. Here's what the game plan is. Here's the areas of attack. This is what we have to do to win this game and the areas that you're going to attack the defense that particular week. And then you start to break off into your individual meetings. Now your offensive coordinator takes that mission statement, and now it's just more detailed. When you're going into here's the run game. Here's our third down area, third medium, third and short, third and long. This is going to be our goal line package. This is going to be our red zone package. Here's our first and second down base offense play action of how we're going to do it. And it's just more detailed, and it really it's the extension of the offensive coordinator that is now passed on to the quarterback's coach to shore up all those details, like protections, the play actions, what the offensive coordinator is thinking has to be done. You're talking situations. So it's much more detailed as the quarterback coach is really the one with you, not only in those meetings, but out on the practice field as well.
Guys, remember Jim, great point. Remember when you were in college, you were in the big auditorium, right? And you have that big professor, but every class had that teaching assistant. And
that's right.
The teaching assistant is essentially the position coach where you spend time working on every minute detail to help prepare you for the greater good of the entire offense.
But you
that's
know,
exactly
too,
right.
You know, one thing about Paul is, you know, the quarterback, the coaches have to look in the eyes of the players and make sure they're understanding what they're telling them. Because the last thing you can do, the worst thing you want to do, is after you go through all the terminology in these meetings and go out to the actual field and see that these guys haven't absorbed it. So that's one of the subtle evaluations that they have to make in meetings that is actually even before you test their athleticism.
Good stuff, guys. Let's continue the conversations. And remember, a gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line for the best caller of the segment. We continue. Tom in River Forest, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah, hi, Jim and Tom. This is a question for you both. What do you mean when you say be prepared? If you want your team before the week, before your opponent, what are three factors that go into? So they're anchors. So your team will never deviate or misunderstand what you mean by be prepared. Jim and Tom.
You know, one of the statements that Coach Stanfield, my offensive line coach, used to say to us, if you come back to the sideline after a series and you say, Coach, I thought, that means you're beat. You have to leave all the thinking in the classroom, and you just have to go out to the game field and react and play football. So you have to understand what you're being taught so well during the week that there's not a scenario that presents itself on the field, whether it's a change of the defense right before the snap of the ball or anything that's involving your job. You can't be thinking at end the game. You have to make sure that you have understanding and knowledge that the thinking is out of it.
I love what Tom said there about the scenarios, because here's what I'll say. Yes, you're prepared for what you're presented, all right? But say the game plan's done. You're done with the Saturday walkthrough, the hay's in the barn, right? You believe that you're prepared, the game plan, to everything that you believe that they're going to show. But then now it's time to go through even more work, all right? What I mean by that is that could be an opportunity where you sit down with your quarterback's coach on a Saturday night meeting and you say, you want to know what, Coach? We're going to go through every single play in this game plan. And we're going to think of all the anomalies of what they can do that we didn't have an opportunity to practice this week. And now you're prepared. That's why when guys like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, the reason why they make it look easy, because they're prepared for every situation and every scenario that Tom Thayer just threw out there. That's being prepared to go into a game. Anything that they throw at you, you have the answer. And you know how to attack it. And when you make it look easy, even though you didn't practice it, that means you're prepared.
Only a couple more contestants on the Sports Authority Best Caller of the Show contest. Gift certificate to Sports Authority at stake. Romeoville, let's say hi to Ralph. Ralph, you're on Bears All Access.
Yeah, Tom and Jim. Question is, with a good draft and with a good free agency, how much do you think the Bears' record could improve, and do you think they have a possibility of making the playoffs? Thanks a lot.
You know, Jim, real quick, I expect the Bears to compete next year for the division. And I not only the second year of a John Fox system, but also the players know a lot more what's expected of them going into the season than the uncertainty going into last year. So I do think that they are ripe. You know, there are different strengths and weaknesses within the division, but I expect the Bears to get stronger next year and go in to be competitive for the division.
Well, I agree with that, because they've got the quarterback who I think can get it done. And in the NFL, you can see quick turnarounds. You know, look at the Washington Redskins. They made the playoffs this year. You know, they moved on from RG3 to Kirk Cousins. I mean, look at that. And it's not like that. I think they've got great offensive skill position players, but the defense is not up to snuff. But I think we've seen quick turnarounds. How about when Andy Reid took control of the Kansas City Chiefs? That first year, they went to the playoffs. That was a 14-2 team, I believe.
Guys, how about John Fox throughout his career? You know, taking over a one-win team in Carolina as head coach 2 years later, has him in the Super Bowl with Jake DeLome as the quarterback. And, you know, when he took over in Denver, you know, people now think of Peyton Manning. But prior to that, his first year with the Broncos, they had Kyle Orton, didn't work out. They switched things mid-season, go to Tim Tebow, basically rearranged the entire offense, and still found a way to get into the postseason. So he's been known for quick turnarounds throughout his entire career as head coach. The problem, though, is if you want to look at it from the other side, you got a Green Bay team in the division with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback and a Minnesota team that's coming off a victory in terms of winning the NFC North this past season. So that, to me, would be the major concern. The Lions have a lot of talent. They didn't play up to expectations. So it's a very competitive NFC North.
You know,
they were in one score games all year long. I look at 6 1 score games. Not to interrupt you, Tom, but you know, the margin of error in the NFL is small because the teams are so competitive. And I think John Fox, he said it all year that the margin was even smaller because of the lack of talent on the Bears roster. That will improve. And that should be good things ahead for the Chicago Bears.
It just, the frustrating thing about it is losing that game to Detroit, losing that first Minnesota division game. Then they went out there and beat Green Bay. So the frustrating thing is that you do have the fight to go out and do it. Now, if you make the improvements that go along with that fight in the tenacity of this football team, that's why I believe that they should be competitive.
All right, it's time to award a winner for our Sports Authority Best Caller of the Show segment. And I'm going to go with Paul from the Southwest Side, who asked about the dynamics of a quarterback's coach, because we've spent so much time talking about what an offensive coordinator needs to do in his relationship with the quarterback. But ultimately, it's the actual quarterback's coach that's going to spend most of the time with the QB. And right now, the Bears don't have one. So I like that question, and I like the answers from both Jim and you, Tom. So we're going to give Paul from the Southwest Side that gift certificate to Sports Authority. Let's take a break. When we come back, what would be the first priority this week? This was really the week where the Bears got a lot of work done up at Halas Hall as the offseason began. What have they been doing up there outside of hiring Dowell Loggins to get themselves better going forward heading into the offseason? We'll discuss with Tom and Jim next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zabin alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. So once the offseason begins, we often hear that the evaluations immediately take place, but it's more complicated than that. So, Tom, when the Bears coaches are going through each player and they're watching video of each player throughout the entire year, including the practices, and they're writing up an evaluation, what are they doing with that evaluation? Who are they giving it to? And then ultimately, does each player get discussed in a meeting with the head coach, the position coach, the GM, the personnel directors? What's going on at Halas Hall right now?
I mean, every snap, every play, every practice are evaluated. And then you have to determine things. Where does Kyle Long fit best? Is Charles Leno Jr. the future at the left tackle position? How do we upgrade the play of Hronis Grasu? How do you make sure Kevin White is immediately involved when they start all the team activities next year? You don't take a year to get him introduced. And then on the other side of the ball, what's the future of guys like Will Sutton, Ego Ferguson? What's the future of Adrian Amos, Kyle Fuller? How does John Timu, Lamar Houston, all these guys fit in? And those are just a few of the names. Every single one of these guys are going to be evaluated from their standings on special teams all the way to the position they play. And again, there's a lot of potential here. There's a lot of young guys. You have to look at how they fit in the future of the Chicago Bears. And again, how do you make sure that you put them in the most confident, in the strongest possible place that they fit, rather than trying to fit a round peg into a square hole? And I do think they have some decisions to make, because they have guys that have ability to fit other positions, but they just make sure they have to have the strongest, most confident group on the field.
So, Jim, I'm going to make you the general manager based on what Tom just said. I'm going to make you the GM. It's a lot more money, a lot more responsibility, and now the spotlight's on you. What do we know for sure that the Bears have that they don't need to address this offseason?
Well, there's so many things going on, right? They're getting their staff in place. Dowell Loggins just hired. That's first order of business. They're doing it. The evaluations are going on the current roster. And now the pro player personnel side is starting to kick into action right now. People can say, oh, the Senior Bowl's down there. Yeah, they're going to start diving into the college talent, but that's going to be on the college side, and the coaches will start to get familiar with those young draft picks at that point. But we know right now the pro player personnel side is kicking into high gear. They're starting to rank free agents that are going to be out there. If you go back a year ago, do you know all the Bears free agents? They were signed by the end of March? Eddie Royal, Vladimir Dukas, Antrell Roll, Pernell McPhee, they were already identified and signed, sealed, and delivered by the Chicago Bears by March. It's already the end of January almost. So that's February. That's not even a month and a half away, realistically, when you look at it. So to me, the pro player side's they're really cranking it up. They're ranking the free agents that are going to be available, guys they want to target and identify like they did a year ago. And then once the Senior Bowl gets here, granted, the college side is already doing their work, diving into these college prospects, especially the juniors that are declaring right now. But now the coaches will go down there. The staff is complete and in place. That way they can go down there, start to dive in to the college free agents or the college potential draft picks and get to know those guys on a personal basis.
And there's no wrong answer. See, that's the fun thing, I think, heading into this offseason, because the variety of different ways that you can build your team, you can start looking at the defense and building that through free agency, or you can wait till the draft and maybe address offense through free agency. There are many different ways you can go, but we know this, free agency comes first, and I think based on that and what the Bears end up doing on that phase of the offseason, then you can start worrying about the draft.
That's right. Agree.
Guys, we got to say goodbye. Who knows what kind of changes will take place by the time we talk next week. Bears All Access with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabeman saying thanks for listening. So long on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.